Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Brand New. Can people really change? The truth is that transformation is actually in our DNA. We were created to grow. We were created to take on new challenges. We were made to become. The Bible has a lot to say about what it means to change, to really change forever. Join us for a new series as we learn together what it means to become brand new.
Hello, New Point. Hey, I want you to know that I love you. More importantly, God loves you. And I want to remind you of that because many times we forget that. We know it, but we don't know it. And I want you to know that no matter where you find yourself at in life, God knows, He cares, and He loves you. So we're glad that you're here. We're in this series called Brand New, The Radical Life Jesus Offers. And it's a letter, it's from Paul, and he's writing to a group of people of where he planted a church. God had called him and gave him a vision to plant a church because as we believe here, the local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Christ. And he called him to plant a church in Philippi. And he started building this church, and then he had to leave. And it's about 10 or 11 years later. He's now in jail because of the gospel, and he can't get to them, so he's writing them a letter. And he's writing them to encourage them and to nudge them to continue to develop their relationship with Christ, because the reason why the guy fell out of bed is because he stayed too close to where he got in. And he wanted them to be able to continue to grow and develop their relationship. And so we've used this kind of as the foundational scripture. It's from one of Paul's letters to the church at Corinth, but Paul repeats himself over and over again because every great leader repeats himself over and over again. Right, Mom? Do I have to tell you again? All right? Because what happens is life gets in the way and we forget and we have to be brought back. And so Paul is doing that. And so he writes to the church in Corinth and he says, therefore, in light of what I just told you, anyone in Christ is a new creation. And the new creation has come. And the old has gone and the new is here. The new is here. And what we're learning, okay, we're taking big thoughts from the book and the letter of Philippians, that the new that has come is a new heart. It's a new attitude. It's a new purpose. It's new responsibilities. It's new friendships. And today what we're going to learn is it brings a new confidence and a new ambition. Now, the first few verses in chapter 3 basically lays the foundation for this new confidence and this new ambition that we have. So let's just dive right in because I've got a lot to share today, all right? It says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Are you there? Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because people are watching you. People are wanting to know if you really have the goods. And so earlier we found out in Philippians that Paul said, whatever happens to you, conduct yourself in a way that's worthy of the gospel. What's that? Rejoicing in the Lord. Now, it's interesting. He's not saying rejoice in the Lord because of what he's done for you or because of what he gave you or because of his care or because things went the way that you planned or all of that. No, what he says is this. He says rejoice in the Lord because of your relationship with him. Because of your relationship with him. Now, perhaps the greatest analogy here is the birth of a newborn, okay? If you've ever had that experience of experiencing the birth of a baby, what happens is you're filled with what? You're filled with joy. But the baby hasn't done anything for you. The baby didn't bring anything. They didn't serve you with flowers or they haven't contributed to you. You're just ecstatic, okay, and just filled with joy because of this new relationship. And that's what Paul was saying here. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because you've got a relationship with the Lord. And there's something powerful about that, that causes the soul to rejoice and to be glad. Now, this kind of joy is not human, okay? It's supernatural. It comes from having a connection with God, that you're full of joy. It produces in you and I, because you might say, well, what does this joy look like, feel like? It produces in you and I, you ready for this? A confidence. The reason why you can rejoice in the Lord is because you know who He is. You know that He's Lord. You know that there's no fear that you have to succumb to, that He is Lord, that your life is in His hands, your future is in His hands. And so it's a supernatural emotion that also could be described as the absence of ultimate fear. You don't have any fear. Why? Because of the Lord. And so you're rejoicing in Him. Now, here's what happens. Most of us aren't there, truth be told, because we want to be happy instead of joyful. And happiness comes from happenings. When things go my way, when I get what I want, when things go according to my plan, when I succeed, that's when I'm happy. Or when I acquire something, I'm happy. But what Paul is saying, and he's writing to these people, he says, I want you to develop a new confidence. I want you to grow in this. And the way in which you start, the way in which you begin, is by rejoicing in the Lord. This relationship that is unrelated to any circumstance in your life. He says, I want you to have that kind of confidence that you can just rejoice. Because you know who Jesus is. You know who God is. And so here's what he says. He says, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Then he says these words. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. He says, I never get tired of telling you things. Why? Because I don't always rejoice. I whine. I complain. I gripe. I grumble. Why? Because things aren't going according to my plans, my way. I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't succeed. Y'all okay? And he says, there's people watching you. There's people watching you, so rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. He says, I'm saying this over and over again because I want to safeguard you, because it's easy to get tripped up in life. It's easy to fall in life because you will base your joy on your circumstances of whether you got the promotion or not, whether you acquired this or that, and he says, don't do it. And then he goes on to say this. He says, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. See, what happens is he says there's a group of people who will want to take away your joy. He says they're dogs, scroungers, okay? They want to come and they want to bite you. They want to devour you. They want to infect you with disease, with a lack of truth. And he says, people who do evil. Who's people who do evil? Well, he says, you mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. Now, here's what you need to understand. When God created the nation Israel, one of the things that he called them to do was all of the men had to be circumcised, okay? And it was symbolic, because what happened is, he says, I want you to cut that skin off so that what happens is the organ that will reproduce will not get infected, all right? It's a word picture. And what happens is he goes on to say, later we're going to learn, I want your hearts to be circumcised. I want you to cut everything away from your heart that would cause your heart to get infected. Sin, selfishness, self-ambition. Y'all okay? And so what was happening here is there was a group of people who were basically saying, if you were circumcised, you were saved. And he says, stay away from those people. They're evil. Because they think that it's about the external. And I'm talking about the heart. And so he goes on to say this. He says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly what? Circumcised. He says, we who worship God are really the ones who are circumcised, not from a physical standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. My heart is circumcised. I've cut things out of my life that would cause me to be selfish, self-centered, to be self-ambitious. Does that make sense? And so he says, for we who what? Worship by the Spirit. The word worship there is the same word that we get liturgical from. That means service. So he says that if you really know God, if you really know God, you're going to serve God with your time, your talents, and your money. Y'all okay? So let's do a check. You want to know if you're saved? Don't tell me that you were baptized. That doesn't mean squat. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ. That's like being circumcised physically. Okay, don't tell me that you go to church. Don't tell me what you do externally. Okay? What Paul says is, for we who worship God in spirit are the ones who are truly circumcised. We've cut everything there so that what happens is we can serve God, and we're serving God with our time, our talents, and our money. And so the question that we have to ask, and what Paul was saying, and he says, I'm reminding you of this. What's in your heart? Do you have a desire to serve God? See, if you don't have a desire to serve God, I would question whether you really know God. See, it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart, and it's energized by the Holy Spirit. And what happens is it gives evidence that something has happened to your heart, that your heart has been circumcised, your heart has been changed, your heart has been transformed. And so he says, for we who worship, okay, by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. He says, we rely, this is powerful, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. So what he's saying here is we don't look to external things and say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, I've been baptized. Or, yeah, I'm a Christian, I went to catechism. Or, yeah, I'm a Christian, No. He says, for we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Jesus Christ has done for me. So if somebody says, are you saved? Absolutely, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He's forgiven me of my sins. He's filled me with his Spirit, and I live for him. Can't say that, won't say that, you're religious. And Paul was addressing it to the church at Philippi because people come into the church, and what happens is they want to draw up new things and say, well, I'm a Christian because I go to church. No, that would mean if I go to the barn this afternoon, I'm a cow. Doesn't work that way, okay? And so he says here that we honor God, we bless God because what happens is we now serve him. We serve him because of what he's done for us, okay? Then he goes on and he says this. He says, we put no confidence in human effort. See, what happens is our tendency is to put confidence in our human effort. Let me tell you what I've done that's good. And what we have to realize and what we have to understand is your ability to do good falls flat every single time. My ability to do good falls flat every single time. He goes on to say this. He says, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. He's basically saying, hey, listen, folks, you're talking to me about what you've done externally. You know what? It's full of holes. But if anyone had confidence in what they have done externally, it would be me. It would be me. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Sounds pretty arrogant, doesn't it? And then he begins to list things that they're familiar with. Here's what he says. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. He said, you want to talk about circumcision? I got it, folks. I got it. He says, I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Wow, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. He says, you know what? I lived an incredible, unbelievable, disciplined life. I did it all. He says, I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Wow. So he's saying, if you want to talk about behavior, If you want to talk about good works, if you want to talk about cutting the shine, you can't outdo me. And he just listed. And what he is getting to is that you don't have confidence in what you do, okay, and what you've done. You have confidence in who Jesus is. We rely on Jesus, and that breeds a new confidence in you and me. And so Paul lists all of these things that he could. He was basically listing his trophies. He was saying, let me tell you what I've done. It's remarkable. And then he says these incredible words. He says, I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done for me. He said, I used to brag about that I was the who's who in the Pharisees. I used to brag about my circumcision. I used to brag about the tribe of Benjamin. I used to brag about all these different things that people thought so well of. And he says, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else, check this out, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's basically saying the most important thing is knowing Christ. It's not what I've done. He says, for his sake, talking about Jesus, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. What he's saying, it would be like for me to say, hey, you know, it's garbage that I'm a pastor. It doesn't get me anywhere with God. And by the way, it doesn't. Do you know that? See, some of y'all think way too highly of me. Oh, you're a man of the cloth. So, doesn't matter to God. Let me tell you what matters to God. My heart. It's my heart. Is my heart circumcised? Am I willing to deal with my heart issues and cut that out? It's not whether I'm a pastor or not, okay? He goes on to say, he says, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. He's saying, I count all of that garbage so that I could have a new relationship with Christ. He's saying, because what happens is, if I think that my relationship with Christ is based on what I've done, then my relationship with Christ will always be at a point of insecurity. And he says, my new relationship with God comes through the person of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. This is incredible. I no longer count on my own righteousness. Have you ever been around somebody who counts on their righteousness? Well, I'm not that bad. I don't cheat on my taxes. I don't cheat on my wife. Yeah, you know, I have a few beers and I, you know, go to Vegas every once in a while and whatever. But, you know, hey, I'm not nearly as bad as most people. What are you doing? You're puffing yourself up. Y'all okay, by the way? I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying what we're doing is we're trying to lift ourselves up. We're trying to prove to everybody we're okay. And Paul says, I no longer count on my righteousness. I don't even want to tell you the things that I think I do right. He says, through obeying the law, okay? He says, rather, I've become righteous through who? Faith in Christ. He says, I've done all these different things, and you know what? They haven't counted for anything because my righteousness, and righteousness is a right standing before God. My righteousness comes through faith in Christ. Now, you know what that takes? Takes humility, because we have a tendency to think we're not that bad. Can I tell you, you're that bad? See, that's the tension. I'm that bad, but God makes me righteous. Okay? See, I'm self-centered. If you don't know, I am. I'm self-centered. I'm selfish. I'd be divorced today if it wasn't for Jesus. My kids would be mad at me if it wasn't for Jesus in my life. All right? You say, man, you're a bad dude. You're right, I am. I'm a train wreck waiting to happen apart from knowing Christ. And that's what Paul was saying. He's saying, my righteousness, my ability to even do what is right comes through my relationship with Christ. And so he's talking about a new relationship, but he's also talking about a new righteousness. a new righteousness. See, he's talking about a righteousness that's not dependent upon you and me. This is why we can have confidence. So I'm not confident in Dwight. You know who I'm confident in? Jesus. I'm confident in Jesus, that he lived a pure life, that he died and that he rose again, and that he's exchanged his life for my life. That I'm confident on. Okay? And so Paul reemphasizes this again. He says, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. What's faith? Faith is trusting in Jesus Christ. Trusting in Jesus Christ. And so this new confidence, when I put my faith in Christ, I get a new relationship because of a new righteousness. See, now when God looks at me, you ready for this, okay? When God looks at me, you know what he sees? He sees a holy Dwight. Just call me Saint Dwight. Okay? Because that's how God sees me. Not because of my righteousness, not because I'm a pastor, not because I read the Bible, not because I pray, not because I've been baptized. I can't point to those things. It's because I've accepted Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and his righteousness. And so what happens is this gives me a new confidence, because what happens is, listen, we've all suffered in our relationships, okay, and lack confidence when we know that relationship isn't what? Right. You ever been there with dad? Yeah, I wish I could ask dad, but we're not on good terms right now. I wish I could ask my wife, but she's mad at me now because I didn't clean out the garage. I wish I could ask my husband, but he's, and what happens is, any time you suffer in a relationship, you lack confidence. But any time you're in right relationship, you have confidence. And so what happens is, our right relationship with God doesn't depend on us, it depends on Jesus. And so we can be confident. We can have a new confidence before others. See, I can stand here, okay, as an imperfect man and be very confident and bold before you, okay, and tell you that I'm not perfect and tell you that I don't always get it right, and I can be bold in all of that, okay? You know why? Because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. See, here's what Paul says to the church in Colossae. He wrote a letter to them. He says, you are complete in him. See, the reason why we're not confident in front of other people is because we think we lack something. Don't raise your hand on this. How many of you feel inferior to people? You know why? Because you're basing it on your righteousness. If you're a Christ follower, you should never feel inferior to anybody. Okay, now we do because we're imperfect, but we shouldn't. Because I'm confident, man. Because what happens is, the reason why we feel inferior to people is because we feel that we're not complete. We feel like we're not enough. And Paul is saying, you aren't if you're depending on your righteousness. You are if you are depending upon Jesus' righteousness. Because he makes you and I complete. And it not only gives us a confidence before other people, but it gives us a confidence before God. Now what happens is, you can go to God with confidence. You can just march right in his presence. Do you know that? You say, you don't know what I did last week. You can march right in his presence because of the righteousness of Jesus. Look at what Paul writes. He says, because of Christ and our faith, what? In him, not because of Christ and our behavior. Hello? Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confident into God's presence. Wow. That's incredible. And so what happens is, I can come before God and ask him for great things for his kingdom. And I'm not shy about it. Not at all. Why? Because I have this confidence. And this confidence comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Paul said it like this earlier in the letter to the Philippi. He says, I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it. Wow. And so what he's saying is, you know what? I'm confident that whatever God has started, he will complete. Wouldn't it be a great way to live? Huh? To have that confidence and to be able to know that your confidence is not something that you've mustered up inside. It's something that God has given you because of your relationship with Christ. And so Paul says, you know, this new confidence, you need to grow in it. And here's how you're going to grow in it, okay? Here's what he says. He says, for my determined purpose now is that I may know him, talking about Jesus, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person, and more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may somehow share his sufferings as to be continually transformed. See, that's what Paul is saying to these people. He said, you're brand new, but you need to continually be transformed in your new attitude, your new purpose, your new responsibilities, your new heart, your new friendships, your new confidence. You need to be transformed, okay, continually transformed. That means develop, that means growth in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope, in the hope. And so Paul says, you know what? I not only have a new confidence, but I have a new ambition. And you know what my ambition is? Ready for this? To know Jesus better and better and better and better and better and better. Anybody here got that ambition? See, my relationship with Jesus is a whole lot like my relationship with Patty, or it should be. All right? You ready? Ready for this? I don't know if you are, but I'm going to give it to you. We usually don't get married because we really want to know somebody. We get married for what they can give us. And that's why it doesn't work very well. So what happens is I'm attracted to her sexually. Okay? I really don't want to know her. I'm attracted to her sexually. That's why, listen, all you single girls, listen to me, listen to me. Here's what I told our daughter. You better make sure he's more interested in your brain than he is in your belly button. Because what happens, your belly button will get his attention, but he'll lose that attention very, very quickly. Y'all right? And so what happens is he won't want to know you. He'll be more interested in you sexually than he will be you as a woman, you as a person. Listen, I've been married for 30 years. I'm interested in my wife. Still haven't figured her out. 30 years. It's called an adventure. Okay? It's called an adventure. And ladies, okay, if you're attracted by the fact that you think that he can provide for you, but you're not really interested in him, then what happens is your marriage will get boring. Listen, when two people come together as husband and wife, it needs to be this: I want to know you. I'm interested in your thoughts, your hurts, your interests, your thinking. I'm interested in everything. And what? Listen to me. If that's true in my marriage, I'll never be bored. Because you'll never figure her out, fellas. If that's true in your marriage, lady, you'll never be bored because you'll be learning something about him every day. And that's what Paul was saying. I want to know Christ. I just want to know that I'm forgiven, God. So if I die, I go to heaven. And so what happens is in a marriage, when we're not interested in knowing one another, y'all okay, by the way? When we're really not interested in knowing one another, then you know what we revert to? Checking boxes. We become roommates. What can you do for me? Well, you take care of the garbage. You take care of the cars. You take care of the lawn. I'll take care of the laundry. I'll take care of the meals. I'll take care of the kids. And what happens? You become roommates. And so what happens is we pull this into our relationship with Jesus. I'll go to church and I'll serve and you'll make life grand for me and you'll give me what I want. And we'll just have this kind of exchange things. You know, you scratch my back, Jesus, I'll scratch your back. But I'm really not interested in getting to know you. Let's just have this relationship of where we have this transaction. Let's don't talk about transformation. And Paul said, you know what? I got a new confidence, and this new confidence has led me to have a new ambition. I really want to get to know Christ. And so Daniel would say it this way. Daniel would say, the people who know their God shall be what? Strong, shall be confident. How do you know? You ever been around somebody who was confident? Not arrogant, but confident. They know their God. And they do great what? Exploits. Because he's great. He wants to work in that. And so what happens is when my ambition is to know God and to experience the power of his resurrection, I have power to live like Jesus. I have power to live like Jesus. Look at what Peter has to say. Peter says this. This is incredible. He gives us everything we need for life and for holy living. He gives it through his great power. So guess what happens when I know Jesus? What happens is, and that's my ambition, then he gives me the ability to be a great father, a great husband, a great leader, a great man. But if my ambition is to be a great father and a great leader and a great husband without knowing Jesus Christ, I will fail because I don't have the power to do that. I don't have the ability to do that, not on a consistent, sustainable way. And so this new ambition, it gives me power to live like Jesus. And it gives me power to what? Minister to others. Now I can minister to other people. See, if I were to ask most of us, and listen, I want you to know that I love you. But most of us, what happens is we're not comfortable in ministering to other people. You know why? Because you don't know Jesus. Let's get Dwight on the phone. And what you're saying is, let's get somebody who really knows Jesus. And the fact of the matter is you have the same access, you have the same ability as I do. He wants to work in your, I'm not special. But what happens is Paul is telling these people, listen, I'm not special. I could flaunt all these different things, but they're worthless. What really matters is that I know Christ and that I want to know the power of his resurrection so that I can live like Jesus and that I can minister to other people. Paul would say this to the church in Ephesus. He says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. And so what happens is Paul is saying, listen, folks, you got a new confidence, but you need to develop it. And the way in which you develop it is by getting to know Jesus better and better and better because you'll experience his power. His power. And so listen, salvation is not the beginning and the end. Salvation is the beginning of a relationship. And so Paul continues this thought, and here's what he says. He says, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The word press here means to chase after, to pursue. Let me go back to our marriage, okay? Fellas, are you chasing her like you did when you were dating her? Are you pursuing him like you were when you were dating him? Or have you reverted to the check the box? Are you pursuing Christ? Or are you checking the box with Christ? That's what Paul was saying. Are you really chasing after him? Do you really want to get to know him? Or are you just checking the box? You see, what happens is he says there's an awareness here that there's something more. There's something more than just having your sins forgiven. But it takes maximum effort, and it demands all of me. And so what he's saying is, what is your focus? See, my focus is not to have a big church. It's not to have a great church. I can't do that. That'll leave me frustrated. My focus needs to be, the prize needs to be, I want to know Jesus more. Because the better I know Jesus, the more I become like him. And what happens is it allows me to rejoice in him. All those other, listen, all those other things are out of my control. The one thing that's in my control that nobody can stop me from is how well I know Jesus. And Paul says, that's my goal. I haven't perfected it, but that's my goal. He says this, all of us then who are mature should take such view of things. That if you're really mature, you should say, hey, you know what? My number one goal in life is not to fulfill the American dream. My number one goal in life is to know Jesus. And if I know Jesus, he'll take care of all my dreams. He'll take care of all my needs. He'll take care of everything. We're going to learn that next week. He goes on to say this, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. So join together, he says, me in following my examples, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live the way that we do. So here's what Paul is saying. You want to develop your new confidence? You want to develop a new ambition? Then follow the right examples. Because there's a whole lot of wrong examples out there. Here's the thing. Listen to me, mom and dad. Here's what every single one of us should say to our kids. Follow me, kids, as I follow Christ. I'm a good example of what it means to pursue Christ. Okay? Dropping them off at church is not going to cut it. Well, I just don't understand my kids. They don't want anything to do with the church. Well, no, because you're a check boxer or box checker or however you say it. Okay? You're one of these people who check the box. See, what happens is if you grow up in a home where your mom and dad loved one another, you look forward to getting married. If you didn't, then you're wondering, I don't know if I want to get married. So let's just live together, and if it doesn't work, we'll just call it quits. That's what happens. So what happens is you follow the right example. All of us, listen, if you're a Christ follower here today, you should be able to say to your family and friends and coworkers, check me out. Not that I've already obtained it. I'm chasing it, though, man. I am chasing Jesus. Then he says here, he says, only let us live up to what we already have. What do we already have? We already have a new heart. We already have a new purpose. We already have what? A new attitude. We already have a new responsibility. We already have new friends. We already have a new confidence. We already have a new ambition. Only let us live up to what we already have, because it's in you and me. It just needs to be developed. Then he goes on to say this, for as I have often told you before and now tell you again, he's repeating himself, with even tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. That means their appetites. Their appetites. Their glory is their shame, and their mind is set on earthly things. So what does he say here? You really want to develop these things in your life? Follow the right examples and flee from the wrong examples. You know, truth be told, if you're really going to pursue Christ, you got to cut some people out of your life. Because their appetites are not that of Christ. Y'all all right? And so we have to realize that our friendships determine the direction and the quality of your life. If you don't like, listen, you tell me your friends and I can tell you the direction and the quality of your life. And I don't even need to meet them. Because they're influencing you. You either influence them or they influence you. And so Paul is saying, follow the right examples, flee from the wrong examples. And then he wraps it up with this. He says this. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his what? His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So here's what he says. He says, you want to develop these new things in your life? Follow the right examples, flee from the wrong examples, and focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal. Listen, we're going to spend more time on that side of the grave than we are on this side of the grave. But we live like we're going to spend more time on this side of the grave than we are on that side of the grave. And so Paul would say to you and me, you know what? Be confident. Be confident. Be confident in who Jesus is and get to know him. And in getting to know him, guess what? He will enrich your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are today. Wow. If we only knew how much you want us to get to know you. You know us because you knitted us together in our mother's womb. But you want us to know you. May I make it my ambition to know you. And out of that, develop this confidence of where I can rejoice in you, no matter what's going on, because I know that you're in control. That I can circumcise my heart and cut away those things that would disrupt and dismantle the things that really are important to me and you in relationships. And so I pray for all of us that we would be determined to get to know you and develop this brand new life, this relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray, give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.